Praise the Lord. This morning I want to speak on the baptism in the Holy Spirit and how to receive it. The baptism in the Spirit, being immersed in the Holy Spirit according to the teaching of the Word of God. There may be some here today that have never even heard the term baptism in the Spirit. And there are others who are very familiar with it, having been brought up in Pentecostal and charismatic movements and churches. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said, he would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with power. And on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, as the Spirit filled the people, and we'll look at some of these scriptures, 120 in the upper room, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. The baptism in the Spirit. Joel, the prophet of Pentecost in the Old Testament, Joel 2:28, Joel prophesied and said, in the last days, not in the Old Testament times, but in the New Testament times, that God would pour out his Spirit on all flesh, every nation, all people of all races of the earth, and that the Holy Spirit would come upon them and that they would prophesy. That's the one thing he said. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes on the people, they will prophesy. Something is going to happen to their tongues. Something is going to happen with their speech, with their utterance. And that was the one sign that Joel identified and Peter identified on the day of Pentecost, that the baptism in the Spirit would have the evidence of speaking in other tongues, supernatural language, and a flow of the river of God out from the innermost of our being. Well, let's begin with Ephesians chapter 5 and open our hearts to receive the Word of God. Increase our understanding today. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Psalms were the Psalter, the 150 Psalms of the Bible, the Old Testament book of Psalms. Hymns are Christian compositions, praise and worship choruses and hymns. And spiritual songs are songs that are spontaneously inspired by the Holy Spirit. They may be in our known language, but it also very definitely includes singing in other tongues, singing in supernatural language. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. How many this morning would say, I need more of the Holy Spirit? You know, my hands are up. We need more of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Be continually filled. There's an imperative here. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It's a command, it's an injunction that the people of God would be filled with the Holy Spirit. But we can't fill ourselves, and that's why it's in the passive tense. Be continually filled, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. We worship, we speak in tongues, we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and in that way the Holy Spirit fills us. We can't fill ourselves, the Spirit of God must fill us. And then it's in the present tense, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Be continually filled. It's the comparison with wine or the beverages of this world to the kingdom of God. And we know that in the natural, you can overdo wine and beverages of this world. And you can overdo yourself, and people do. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, you can never overdo the Holy Spirit. Jonathan Edwards, the great revivalist, said, "There can be excess with wine, but no one can have too much of the Holy Spirit." No one can have too much of the Holy Spirit, his presence, his empowering, his anointing upon our lives. You know what happens when people drink wine to excess? They change. They come under the influence. They begin to change. They begin to become more talkative. They do things they don't normally do. And likewise, when the Holy Spirit fills us, but now to our betterment, we change. Things take place. Things happen to us. We become talkative. We may be bold. We may be more liable to speak to strangers about the gospel when the Holy Spirit is upon us, when the presence of God is upon our lives. We change morally. The fruit of the Spirit begins to be produced in us: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, the character of Christ. And there's also the miraculous, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts of healings, working of miracles, gift of prophecy. There is change in the miraculous dimension as well. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. When the disciples, the 120, were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they were accused by the onlookers, "These men are drunken. They're under the influence of something," and Peter could not deny it. He says, "But they are not drunken as you suppose. They've come under the power of the Holy Spirit, and there's something unusual taking place with their language, with their response to the Lord, with the how they're conducting themselves." When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we are different. We are changed. We all need more of the Holy Spirit. We need more of the presence and power of God in this third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:38, well-known scripture. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit, and with power, who went about doing good. And don't miss this, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed and beaten down by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus was completely full of the Spirit. He had the Spirit, the Bible says, without measure. And look at the mighty works of God. When it says he went about doing good, it doesn't mean he went and cut somebody's lawn or took groceries to somebody that had need. Now, those are valid things to do, but it says when Jesus was doing good, he was breaking the oppression of the enemy off people's lives. He was performing miracles. He was touching people with the power of God so that their lives were transformed forever. And there was a heart change toward God. Jesus said he would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with power in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. John the Baptist said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." He says, "I'm baptizing you in water. But there's one coming. His name is Jesus, and he's going to baptize you. He's going to immerse you. He's going to plunge you into the Holy Spirit and the fire of God." In John 1:32, John bare record of Jesus Christ as he came to be baptized. He said, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." So Jesus Christ is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. It's important to keep the truth of the baptism in the Spirit in the house of God and vibrant in our lives. We live in a day which is popular for moralistic preaching and motivational speakers. And Christendom is filled with that level of ministry. And it's encouraging, among other things, but we must hold to the doctrines of the Lord. We must understand the truths and the doctrines of the Bible. And one of the great responsibilities of the ministers of the gospel is that we keep the truths of God alive in the house of the Lord and in the hearts of his people. So I trust you will receive this morning. Receive this morning. Jesus wants to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Even as you are baptized in water upon your repentance, now there is a baptism in the Holy Spirit where Jesus plunges you and immerses you in the life of the Holy Spirit, and you are changed forever. The Spirit of God has a twofold ministry in our lives, twofold measure. And that is, the Spirit comes upon us in conversion, and then we're baptized in the Spirit, baptism in the Spirit, as Jesus takes us into a further work of his Spirit in our life. Repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to be born again of the Spirit. We're saved, we're converted, but there also is baptism in the Holy Spirit. And there are a few examples of this, a number of illustrations, but let me bring a couple of them to you in John chapter 20 and verse 21 to 23, and then we're going to compare Acts chapter 1. In John 20, Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," the Holy Spirit. "Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." Now this breathing of the Holy Spirit in John 20 took place the evening of the day Jesus Christ was resurrected. In the morning of the resurrection, he appeared unto Mary in the garden. And she went to take hold of him, and he said, "Don't cling to me." He said, I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. And we know that after he left Mary, that Jesus took the blood of the cross, the blood of his sacrifice, and presented it before the Father in heaven, in the Holy of Holies in heaven, securing eternal redemption for our sins. And that night, he was back down, and he appeared to his disciples, and he said, "Peace be to you." He said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. I don't think that anyone can deny that Jesus Christ was bringing them into a full covenant relationship with him. He died, he'd been buried, he'd risen again, he presented the blood to the Father, salvation was complete, the work of the cross was complete. He now breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They entered full new covenant relationship with the Lord. And yet later in Acts chapter 1, it says that at the end of, he was with them for 40 days. At the end of the 40 days, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, said he, "You have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Born again by the Spirit, breathed on them, they received the Spirit, and yet Jesus said, "You need the baptism of the Spirit." Then we have John chapter 4 and John chapter 7. In John chapter 4, Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, and he answered and said unto her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said unto him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." He was bringing her into a salvation experience. He said, when you get saved, when you are born again, when you accept Christ as Savior, a well is put inside you. It's a well of living water. It's an artesian well. And how thankful we are for the well of salvation. That flowing well inside of us that springs up into everlasting life. But notice John chapter 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." Rivers. "But this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Jesus was glorified on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit was poured out. Now we understand these two dimensions. Jesus said, I'm going to put a well of living water inside you. But he said there's another experience where rivers of living water flow out of your being. And this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, that baptism in the Spirit. So we understand that we are born again by the Spirit and we are baptized by the Spirit. Now every believer, every Christian has the Spirit of Christ, has the Holy Spirit in him or her. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. John 3:8 says we are born again by the Spirit. We are sanctified unto the belief of the truth by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 and 9, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to God. So every person at regeneration, at their conversion, receives the Holy Spirit. But there is another dimension called the baptism, where the Holy Spirit is poured out, and we're baptized in the Spirit, and rivers of living water begin to flow. Utterance begins to flow out of us. Supernatural language. We prophesy, that is, speak by inspiration. We're changed under the influence of the Holy Spirit in a wonderful and dramatic way. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. While it's true that every person has the Holy Spirit at salvation, it is equally true that every Christian may desire to receive the baptism and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Repent, be baptized, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting, and I want to give you a few examples, and then I'm going to give you some practical advice on receiving the Spirit. It may be that there are people here this morning that have never received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, never been immersed in that dimension, that charismatic dimension of the Spirit, but there's a desire in your heart to do so. And so we want to give some practical instruction toward that. Jesus was baptized, immersed with the Holy Spirit. That's my first example in Matthew chapter 3. We know the account as Jesus came to John at the Jordan. The Bible says when Jesus, Matthew 3:16, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Jesus had an experience with the Holy Spirit. We know that he was born of the Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Jesus Christ was a true Son of God in the absolute fullest sense, walking in holiness, the sinless Son of God. And yet he went through a water baptism, and he went through a baptism in the Spirit where the Holy Spirit came upon him. Because there is a dimension where the Lord is showing us the pattern that we too must walk. And the Bible says after the Holy Spirit came upon him, his life was changed forever. He stepped out into a ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ in a very dramatic way. And there was a brand new day upon his life. I find it interesting. I have some quotes from the past. Here's one from R.A. Torrey, 1910. Torrey, who was the first president, I believe, of Moody Bible Institute. Truths of Pentecost were spilling out over the whole world in the early 1900s. He says, let us observe that Christ, who is our example in this, as in all things, did not appear upon his ministry till he had received the Holy Ghost. He had been begotten of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin, and had lived that holy and obedient life which this divine nativity would imply. But when he would enter upon his public ministry, he waited for the Spirit to come upon him as had hitherto been in him. What about A.B. Simpson, the holy founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, wrote these words, 1924. He said, first, Jesus was born by the Spirit, then he was baptized by the Spirit, and then he went forth to work out his life in ministry in the power of the Spirit. But he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. So in like manner, we must follow in his footsteps and relive his life. Born like him of the Spirit, we too must be baptized of the Spirit and then go forth to live his life and reproduce his work. Jesus had a threefold experience. Born of the Spirit, water baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. The disciples as well. The early disciples, as we've seen, the 12 disciples or 11, for Judas betrayed the Lord. They received the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on them. They received the Spirit, which would be the full new covenant relationship with the Lord and dynamic. And then the Lord said, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem because the day I'm glorified, the day I'm crowned king in the heavens, The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on that day of Pentecost. And so the disciples, and it's interesting, I don't know if he just told the 11, but there were 120 gathered in the upper room. There were many more that said, we're going to go and wait for the Holy Spirit. We want the promise of Joel, where he said the Spirit would be upon all flesh. We want that baptism. If John said that Jesus is going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire, we want to be part of that. 120 were found in the upper room. It's kind of interesting that Jesus appeared to 500 brethren, it said, at one time in his resurrection appearances. 500 were there, 120 in the upper room. What happened to the other 380? But there were 120 that said, we want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We want the fullness of the Lord. And so they were waiting on the Lord, praying and worshiping and seeking the Lord and pulling in the Spirit of God and the Scriptures. And on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 says, where they were assembled, the Holy Spirit fell. There was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And there were tongues of fire that appeared over the head. Divided tongues that came upon one upon every person. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The river began to flow in supernatural language. They spoke out in other tongues. Andrew Murray, 1888. You know, the Pentecostal movement was poured out in the early 1900s. He said in 1888 to the disciples, the baptism of the Spirit was very distinctly not his first bestowal for regeneration, but the definite communication of the presence and power of their glorified Lord. Just as there was a twofold operation of the Spirit in the Old and New Testaments, of which state the disciples before and after Pentecost was a striking illustration, so there may be, and in the majority of Christians is, a corresponding difference of experience. These two aspects. Then we look, one of the clearest examples in the Word of God is Acts chapter 8, the Samaritan believers. Samaritan believers. If you have your Bible and you want to jot this down, please take this with you today. In Acts chapter 8, Philip went down to Samaria to preach the gospel. Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and they that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Philip the evangelist came preaching the gospel. People were set free. People were healed. Miracles took place. Then it says, verse 12, but they that believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. They were baptized in water. And then it says, verse 14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid Peter and John, they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And Simon, the man there, saw something take place when they laid their hands on them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Word of God couldn't be clearer. The Christians at Samaria had heard the gospel of salvation. They'd repented of their sins. They accepted Jesus Christ. There were miracles. There were signs and wonders. There were deliverances from demonic possession and oppression. These people were set free by the power of God. Then they were baptized in water. But the scripture says, as yet the Holy Spirit had fallen upon none of them. Repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so Peter and John came down from Jerusalem, and they laid hands on these believers, the disciples, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And something unusual happened, something that could be seen and heard. And according to the normal pattern of the New Testament, these disciples would have spoken other tongues and glorified God and spoke by inspiration, praising and magnifying the Lord. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, we know the account of his conversion on the Damascus Road, how that he fell to the ground on the Damascus Road as the bright, lighter than the noonday sun appeared to him, Jesus Christ. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" Jesus said, "I am Jesus whom you're persecuting." He said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" And in full and complete surrender in that moment, the Apostle Paul was born again. He surrendered his life to the Lord. It was 3 days later, as he was praying and seeking the Lord in the city of Damascus, that a prophet, Ananias, was sent to him. And Ananias came and said to him, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Scales fell off his eyes. His eyes were healed, and he received the Holy Spirit, and he was baptized in water. There is an example again of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, or a baptism of the Spirit, 3 days after a conversion experience. And then the other one I want to refer to is Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul came to the city of Ephesus, and he happened upon 12 disciples, and he assumed that they were Christians. He'd assumed they were disciples of Christ. And he said to them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Have you received the Holy Spirit, or did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" When you believed, did you receive the Holy Spirit? That question is nonsensical unless there is a separate experience to born again, and that is the baptism of the Spirit. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, "We haven't even heard about the Holy Spirit." And so the Apostle Paul inquired a little bit and found out that they were simply disciples of John the Baptist, that they had never even come into a full new covenant relationship as far as the fullness of Jesus Christ. They were disciples of John the Baptist. They had been baptized unto John's repentance in water. They were expecting Jesus Christ to come. They were going to put faith in him, but they hadn't heard that he'd come in fullness. And so the Apostle Paul brought their understanding up to date, and then they were baptized in water. And then the Bible says, when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. They spoke in tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. He brought them into conversion, full salvation in Christ. They were baptized in water, and then they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues and prophesied. Again, very clear delineation in these three aspects of Christian life. And again, I go back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized in water and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." There are these three aspects in the beginning foundations of our Christian life that are available to all Christians. Now, sometimes, 120 were in the upper room, 500 presumably heard about the Lord. It doesn't mean that all believers step into this realm of baptism. Many Christians today are born again by the Spirit. They are baptized in water, but they do not have that immersion, that baptism in the Holy Spirit that Jesus spoke about, where out of their innermost being flows rivers of living waters, supernatural tongues and supernatural utterance. And one of the main benefits of being baptized in the Spirit is that there is a supernatural language that flows out from within us. It's the language of the Holy Spirit. And it brings us into a high level of praise to the Lord. For the Bible says in the book of Acts that when they heard them speak with tongues, they heard them magnifying God. Sometimes they are known languages. And the people that were there on the day of Pentecost heard languages that they knew. And they heard these people as they were speaking in tongues, they were magnifying God. The Apostle Paul instructed the churches in 1 Corinthians 14. And he said, "I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with my natural language. I'll pray with my understanding." He said, "I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with my understanding. I will sing with utterance. I will sing with other tongues, and I will sing with my understanding. And he said, when you do, you give God thanks in a well manner. You give God thanks very well. And he said, when you speak in tongues, he said, those who speak in tongues, they are speaking mysteries. They are speaking divine secrets. There is prophetic revelation that is flowing by the Holy Spirit out through those who are praying in other tongues and speaking in the language of the Spirit. So we thank God for the baptism. And I pray that everyone in this place would hunger and thirst after this experience. Maybe you don't understand it fully. Maybe there are some hindrances. Hallelujah. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need an immersion. We need a baptism. We need our tongues changed. Thinking right now of churches in other parts of the world that I've been at. Church in Sri Lanka, the pastor told me, 100% of their believers are filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues. India, likewise. See, they don't have a lot of the restrictions that have come into our culture and into our traditions and into our churches. They are raw heathen converts, and when they come to Christ and they're presented with the Word of God, repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit, complete with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, they simply respond in childlike faith to the Word of the Lord and believe it and experience it. This morning, I want to give you the keys on how to receive the baptism in the Spirit. Baptism in the Spirit and how to receive it. And there's an acrostic that was used many decades ago. My age is showing. But it was very beneficial to many believers as they began to seek for the baptism of the Spirit. And the simple acrostic is made from the word ready, R-E-A-D-Y, receiving the Spirit. So the first R would be repent. Repent. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, they all gathered. They heard them speaking with tongues and glorifying God, and they said, what does this mean? Peter said, this is what the prophet Joel was speaking about. These aren't drunken as you suppose. These are filled with the Spirit. And there's supernatural language flowing out of them. There's change in them. But we see, repent, be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Or Acts 5:32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them that obey him. Repent. There has to come an obedience and a surrender in our lives if we're going to receive this dynamic of the Holy Spirit. Unconfessed sin and disobedience and carelessness must be put away from us. The Holy Spirit is given to them that obey him. The Holy Spirit is gentle. He comes like a dove, is one of the illustrations. And he comes to those who are repentant. It is very possible to be born again and yet be at controversy with the Lord. We can be saved, born again, have our salvation, the gift of eternal life, and yet be at odds with the Lord in many areas where we don't want to give up things to the Lord. We put our boundaries. We put our restrictions on the Lord. Lord, so far in my life, and that's it. I receive you as my Savior, but he must be Lord as well. And repentance is a hearty turning from our own sin and our own way to follow the Lord. It's a hearty giving up of all controversy with the Lord. Lord, I give you my life. I repent of my sin. I turn from my own way to follow you. And we must be willing to get rid of all the reluctance, all the hard-heartedness, and truly repent. We must be brought through to a genuine conversion. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. We must have an experience of salvation where we know we are born again, that the Holy Spirit is witnessing with us, I am a child of God, I am a son, I am a daughter of God. This is what has been termed in times past as a know-so salvation. I know I'm born again. I know I'm born again. This is beyond lifting a hand in a meeting to accept Jesus and go to heaven. It's a forsaking all where you give yourself to the Lord so completely that you know you are born again by the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit is witnessing, yes, your life has been changed. You are called. You are chosen. You are no longer of the world. You have had a true repentance. You've forsaken all to follow Jesus Christ. The first point in the baptism, receiving the Holy Spirit, is repent. Number two is expect. Expect. Joel 2:28-29, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That is, they'll speak by inspiration. The Spirit of God will come upon them, and language will flow out of them qualitatively and quantitatively that they never knew was inside of them. And you look at the examples in the Old Testament, they had a point of reference. Not everybody received the Spirit in a dynamic way in the Old Testament. The Spirit was with them. But there were certain individuals that were filled with the Holy Spirit. Like King Saul, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, what did he do? He started prophesying. Words began to flow out of him. Language began to flow out so much that they said, is Saul also among the prophets? The 70 elders that stood with Moses, when the Spirit of God came down upon them, it says they began to prophesy. They began to speak. Something began to flow out of their innermost being that wasn't there before, and they didn't even know they had inside of them. It was supernatural language. It was prayer. It was praise. It was a river. Now, Joel said in the New Testament, that experience is going to be for all flesh, for everyone. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men shall dream dreams and see visions, and upon even the servants and the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. It doesn't matter your rank or station in life. We're candidates for the Holy Spirit, but we must expect. So we understand that this is a desire of the Lord. Then Acts 1:13-14, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, the disciples, and these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. What were they waiting for? They were waiting for the promise of the Spirit. They were waiting for the baptism, as Jesus had said. Not many days from now, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. There was an expectation. They were worshiping. They were praying. They were waiting on the Lord. So we know we must have expectation if we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Anticipation and excitement in our spirit. Number three, we must ask. Luke 11:9-13. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. By the way, this verse and Jesus' words imply that there are different levels of desperation that are needed in our life. Sometimes we ask and sometimes we have to go further. We have to press on and seek. And sometimes we have to knock. A great desperate effort after the Lord. For everyone that asks receives, he that seeks finds, to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? To them that ask him, we have to ask for the Holy Spirit. And we should be persistent before the Lord. If we don't receive immediately, we don't get discouraged and give up I guess the baptism in the Spirit isn't for me. I'll never have rivers of living water flowing. I'll never speak in tongues. No, persist. Go a little further. Start seeking. Start knocking. Present yourself before the Lord in such a way that you have a desperate heart. I believe the Lord's looking for our desperation. Sometimes we come to the altars, get prayed for. If something doesn't happen in 15 seconds, we walk out the door as if nothing's ever going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we need a gift of healing in our body. We pray one prayer, nothing happens. I guess it's not for me. I guess I won't get healed. Begin to seek. Begin to knock. Begin to get desperate. Begin to pull the scriptures over your life. Spend some time with the Lord. Begin to fast and pray. Seek the Lord with an open heart. I remember when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was 10 years of age. Many children in this church are baptized with the Holy Spirit because they have that childlike faith. You say, how many want to receive the Holy Spirit? How many want to speak in tongues? Their hands go up. They don't have all the misgivings, reluctance, self-consciousness, tradition, strongholds and imaginations that adults get into. Children are open. They want to receive from the Lord. I can be saved. I can be water baptized. I can be filled with the Spirit. Well, I was 10 years of age, and we had a week-long revival service in our church, our little Pentecostal church. A couple times a year, Sunday through Sunday, revival meetings every night, preaching, altars, seeking the Lord. And I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit because the speaker that year was really emphasizing the baptism in the Spirit. And I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues. And I went to the altar the first night and giving myself to the Lord and waiting for a supernatural language to bubble up or to be formed in the back of my mind, my spirit, and nothing. And I, wow, night one. Next night, at the altar again. I mean, I'm 10 years old. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit, and I want to speak with tongues. And second night, I had to leave, and I felt the presence of the Lord, but I never spoke in tongues. Third night, I think it was the fourth or fifth night, all of a sudden, I finally was able to yield my tongue fully to the Lord. And supernatural language began to flow, stammering lips and another tongue. Words were there. Words were forming. I didn't have anywhere near, of course, the language or the capacity that developed in the years ensuing, but there were the stammering lips, and there was the experience, and I knew I'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. I've been speaking in tongues for 54 years of my life. I like what the Apostle Paul said. I speak in tongues more than you all. I think it's good to speak in tongues for 15 or 20 or 30 minutes a day. Blessing the Lord, prophesying, speaking divine revelation, being filled with the Holy Spirit. What a blessing. What a river of the Holy Spirit. I can't imagine praying or worshiping without that supernatural component. Because I run out of words. After a while, I don't know what to say with my natural words. It's like I'm saying the same thing over and over, which is wonderful, but I want a free flow, and the rivers begin to flow. So we have to ask. But I had to ask for many nights, but then the flow came. Number four, so ready, R-E-A-D, drink. John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Some translations now say heart. That's weak. It's not the heart. It's the spirit. It's down in the procreative parts, the loins. It comes out of your spirit. Out of his spirit shall flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Holy Spirit. So we have to come and drink. We begin to drink in of the Spirit. If you want to be filled, you come and drink. You open yourself up. You begin to take in of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, rest on my life. I drink in of you. In times past, it was helpful to some people to take in some deep breaths of air as a symbol of taking in the air, the breath of God, the Holy Spirit into their lives. So we open up and we begin to drink. And then the final one is yield. The final one is yield. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Lord. Yield yourself entirely. Yield your mind. Yield your will. Yield your body. Surrender everything. Say, Lord, I don't want anything left for myself. I want to give myself totally to you. Take me. I surrender all. Romans 6:13 says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Yield your members as instruments of righteousness. So there you are, yielding yourself to the Lord. Lord, I'm yours. Take me. I yield myself to you. Yield everything to the Lord and yield the most unruly member of all, which is your tongue. I'm not surprised that speaking in other tongues is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because we have the most unruly member of our entire body in our mouth. And when the Lord can overcome that and we begin to speak that heavenly language, my, what a sign of the surrender and yieldingness of our life. Acts 2, 1-4, when the day of Pentecost was come, tongues of fire sat upon them. It sat upon each of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Yield to the Holy Spirit. I remember it as clearly now as I did when I was 10. As I was at the altar in that church, I was there yielding everything. Lord, I give you my life. I give you everything. I don't want to serve myself. I want to serve you. I give you my mind and my body, everything, Lord, for you. And in that yielding comes the yielding of the tongue as well. And as the Holy Spirit is wells up within us, and supernatural language or strange sounding syllables begin to form in the back of our mind or our spirit, we are not to resist those, but begin to pour them out in praise and worship and utterance to the Lord. And in the end, our tongue as well will be yielded to the Lord, and we will speak with other tongues, speak in the supernatural language of the Lord. I've come to the close of the meeting at this time, the message, but you know, there may be people here today that have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You say, I want that experience with the Lord. I've repented of my sins. I'm born again. I've been baptized in water, but I've never had what the Bible talks about in that dimension, the baptism in the Spirit. Like the believers in Samaria, repented, baptized, but when Peter and John came down, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And today, I'm giving opportunity. Why don't we stand together before the Lord? If you want to say, I desire that in my life. I've never had that, but I desire that, and I'm going to come and present myself to the Lord today. You know, get ready. Get ready. Repent of any reluctance or sin in your life, any disobedience. Expect from the Lord. Lord, you said you'd pour out your Spirit on all flesh. I qualify. I'm coming with anticipation of this experience. And Lord, I'm coming. I'm going to ask because you give the Holy Spirit to those that ask. I'm going to begin to drink in of the Holy Spirit like never before. I'm going to yield every part of my being to you, including my tongue, Lord. You can take it all. If that's you today and you'd like to respond, make your way down to the altar. Make your way down to the altar. You may be filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing today, and supernatural language may flow out of you. Perhaps it'll be a start for some of you this morning, that maybe later today, maybe tomorrow, maybe a week from now, as you keep drinking into the Spirit, all of a sudden the supernatural language begins to flow. The power of the Holy Spirit comes upon your life. Believers are coming this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Response to the Word of God. Seeking the baptism, seeking that infilling of the Spirit, rivers to flow. Any others this morning? There may be others here today that you need to release that flow once again in your life. Maybe it's been a long time since you really let the river of God flow out of you in supernatural tongues. Oh, you say a few phrases here and there in the prayer service, but my, there's a river that God wants to open up in you again. You can just pour out to the living God. This morning, those that are gathered at the front, begin to do what that simple acrostic relayed to us. Begin to yield. Begin to take in. Begin to drink. Begin to ask. And then as the Holy Spirit comes upon you and wells up from within you, don't hold back those supernatural words. Let go. Release your tongue to the Lord and begin to speak with stammering lips and another tongue. Will I speak unto this people? Powerful baptism in the Holy Spirit. Lord, what an experience for the saints, Lord. Recognize throughout the Word and historically through Christianity how needful that we be baptized in the Holy Spirit, that there be an endowment of power. Lord, a fresh touch of your Spirit today and a fresh supply of the Spirit. Let's take a few minutes and close out the service in worship and praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. The sound of worship goes up all around you. You can pour out some supernatural language before the Lord and release yourself before the Lord. God bless you today.